All right. Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning? All right. It's been a good week. Before we jump into the message today, announcement about something cool happening this week. Wednesday, we have baptisms and barbecue. I'm excited about this. I believe we have already 10 people or more, I can't remember, signed up to get baptized. So I'm excited. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to spend a little bit of time in worship, and then we're going to go out and have some good food, fellowship, and then we'll celebrate some more, worship some more with some baptism. So it's going to be a good time. If you have not been baptized yet and you want to take this as your opportunity, I encourage you to sign up for that. All right. One other thing. How many of you guys got a ticket when you came in this morning? Was there anybody who did not get a ticket? Is there anybody who did not get a ticket? Okay. So I think we're good. All right, Miss Lynn, if you would come on up. So none of y'all even know, not even the people who were handing out the tickets, what this was for. So I'm going to reveal right now. We had a very generous person give a couple of preseason Seahawks tickets to the Chiefs game. So, all right, let's see. Who is it going to be? It's a red ticket. Oh, half the crowd already goes, oh. All right. 9788525. All right. We got a winner. So what you got to do is they're digital tickets. So after the service, you'll need to give your name, your full name. You'll have to throw those all away. Give your full name after the service and your email address, and they will be emailed to you because they're digital. You also need the Seahawks app if you don't have that. So congratulations. You get to go watch. I believe it's in August, the end of August. All right. Okay, well, we're going to get into today's message, but let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. Your presence is so good. And Holy Spirit, we ask that this morning, we just invite you in to continue to minister to us, to speak to us, to change and transform our lives. And we just thank you for who you are and what you want to do. We give you full permission, Lord God, to speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Oh, I forgot one more quick announcement before we actually get into the message. Coming this fall, we are going to be doing what we're calling Deep Dive Thursdays, and we're going to take Thursday nights, I believe it's starting September 18th, for some teaching. We're going to take some more time to kind of dive into the Word and kind of some of the basic doctrines that we should have as our baseline, our foundation, so that we know what we believe, why we believe it. Especially in these days, we need to have a firm foundation of, you know, what we believe. And so Philippians 1, 9 through 10 says, and this is Paul saying, "And my prayer is this, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ." There's so many things in our world today being purported as truth. So I want, my heart and God's heart is for us to know the truth. And so we're going to be spending 8 weeks, I believe it is, in September, every Thursday night for 8 weeks, just kind of getting into some of the doctrines and why we believe what we believe. You guys excited about that? I think it's going to be good. All right, now we're going to jump into today's word. And title of today's message is just missionally minded. So God has called us to the battlefield, the mission field, and he gave us a great commission. In Mark 16:15, Jesus says to his disciples, and he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." And this means go, it means travel, it means journey. Go to wherever people are. And the good news, proclaim the gospel. Gospel means good news. is that Jesus died for our sins, that he paid the price that was ours to pay, but he chose, even though he was sinless and spotless, that there's no fault in me and there's no reason why I should have to do this. I'm going to do it for you and for your sins and for your transgressions so that you may be right with God, so that your relationship may be restored to God. That is some good news. If somebody came to you and you had, say, $100,000 in debt, and you had somebody come up to you and say, I want to pay it all off, wouldn't you accept? Yeah, I think you would. What Jesus did was immeasurably far greater than that. And it's so, so very much just good news that we should proclaim to others, Jesus has done this. He has paid the debt. Won't you receive it? It's not just for this life, but for life eternal. And so we're going to talk about this morning where we are exactly to go. In Acts 1:8, Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, this word witnesses in this scripture is the Greek word, I believe you pronounce it, martus, which means an eye or an ear witness, meaning you will either preach, you will tell people, you will witness in words so that they can hear with their ear what Christ has done, or you will show people in a demonstration of power or in serving, a demonstration of God's gospel love displayed to people so that they can see the love of God and see it in action. And so actually it's from this word, that we get our English word of martyr. So speaking to people, even if it would cost us persecution, even if it would cost us our life. And knowing that the spreading of the gospel, the spreading of the good news is more important, even more so than our physical being. Knowing that we should care more about somebody's eternal salvation than our natural life. And so where are we to go? We're going to talk about this for a moment. He first says in this scripture, in Acts 1:8, he says first to Jerusalem. That means locally. That means right in the area in which you live. That is your first mission. That is a mission field. You guys need to know that where you live, your city, your county, your neighborhood, your street is a mission field. And that's where we are first called to go and to speak and to preach and to show and to love and demonstrate God's power. Jesus actually, when he first was sending his disciples to go preach to the lost, he said this in Matthew 10:5-7. These 12 were sent out instructing them. He said, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus was not saying, I don't ever want you to go there, but you need to first start right where you're at. You need to recognize that you are already on the mission field. Many of us maybe have thought, well, if I could just go on a mission trip and maybe go overseas, then I can proclaim the good news of God. No, you've been called right now to proclaim the good news to the mission field that you are in right now. And we need to see that as such. There's so many people in just our area that don't know the love of Christ. Maybe they've heard it, or maybe they've seen it, maybe displayed in a religious way, and they've been turned off to it. But they need to see the true love of Christ. They need to hear what Jesus has done for them. I've encountered people who I've said, do you know Jesus? And they say, who is Jesus? There's people right in our own community, right in our own backyard, who don't even know. And how can they know if nobody preaches to them or speaks to them? And how can somebody speak to them if they haven't been sent? I want to tell you, you have been sent. God has sent you to your neighborhood. And we should be ready and mindful of that every day and recognize and ask the Holy Spirit, help me to recognize each and every opportunity that you give me today. Let me not miss a moment in which you want me to either speak the good news or show the good news in action. One of the ways that this church does this, we do it in a few different ways, but one of the ways we actually just did this weekend was amazing. It was our kids camp. And we had, I think, over 150 kids at the camp, of which I believe probably, I would say, at least 40%, if not more, were kids who do not go to church here. So kids from the community, people, family and friends that have been invited, many of which who did not know Jesus, got to hear the gospel. And this morning, I just want to show a quick recap video for you of what happened this last week. If we could put that up, yeah.
Done something like we've never done before. We had a grand prix, we had a race car here, we had a water bouncy house, and it has been amazing. We have also reached a maximum limit of kids that we've never reached before. Over 150 kids have come to camp this year. We are so blessed.
They can turn to Jesus when things get tough, and that they have a lot of friends and a lot of adults in the community and the church that are here to help them pray and anything they need.
City Kids Camp for the kids is an opportunity for them to encounter God with people that are their same age and know that this isn't just something that we talk about, but something that we get to experience with our friends in life and just do together. I spoke about how we serve a big God who does really big things, and when we have to take a pit stop, it's important that we remember to pray, trust, and believe that all things will work out for our good. And we know that God says these things to us, and He means it for us.
All right. It was a lot of fun, and kids got taught the Word of God, got to hear the good news, and I know many gave their life to Christ, so it was just an amazing week, and something that my family looks forward to every year, my son, most of all, it's like his favorite time of year, but that is one way in which we reach our local community, and we've seen not only kids' lives change, but we've seen families then, because of what God has done in their life through camp, then start to come here in their life, get transformed as well. Another thing that this church does locally, actually it's its own entity now, but Back to School Marketplace was birthed here out of Harbor City Church, and that's an amazing thing. If you don't know what it is, I think we've announced it a couple of times. We will again here in the coming weeks, but it is a thing where we gather clothes and backpacks and school supplies for all the kids in Grace Harbor if they're in need of any of those supplies, and so we are able to supply them, but it's also an opportunity just to share the love of Christ. But tangibly, but also, Lord, we get opportunity to pray for people too during these times. And it's a great way in which we can show the love of Christ, show the gospel in action. And I'm just so appreciative of all of you people who volunteer and reach out and minister to our community in these many different ways. And just to, reiterate, it's so important to start right where you're at, to see each and every person. Every soul is significant, whether it's here or abroad, and to recognize that you are called. You are already on the mission field. Secondly, in this portion of Scripture, Jesus says to Judea and Samaria. That means nationally, in our nation. There are many people in our nation, just like there are locally, that don't know the love of Christ. Peter was sent to the Gentiles after. In Acts 10:15, verse 20, 15 and then verse 20, it says, "And the voice came to him again a second time, 'What God has made clean, do not call common. Rise and go and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them.' Saying, 'What you have thought is unclean, what you have thought in your mind or about people, how that you weren't supposed to go to them, that you're supposed to get that out of your mind. You're supposed to go in and preach the gospel to every people group. And there's people in and around our very own nation that we need to go to. And so we need to preach the gospel, whether it be here locally in our own community or all across our nation. And again, just wherever we go, we should have that mindset that there are people that need to know the love of Jesus Christ. Again, either in word or in action. They need to see it. They need to hear it. And there are many hurting and broken people all across our nation. There are many confused people all across our nation, as so much quote-unquote doctrines and philosophies and opinions are being pushed all throughout our nation of what people should believe, how they should act, how they should look. And that's part of the reason why I'm so excited about, you know, this coming fall and teaching. We need to know the truth so that we can help other people know the truth as well. We can't help other people know if we don't know ourselves. We don't want to be the blind leading the blind. We actually just had a team go to North Carolina here just a few weeks back to do such a thing, a mission trip nationally, which we haven't done in quite a while. And so they went to North Carolina, and it was to help rebuild that community that was hit so hard by the hurricane. And and they were able to do a lot of amazing. We had a great team, a skilled team with skilled craftsmen and workers, and they were able to go in and bless and help people. But even beyond that, even beyond just the humanitarian and the rebuilding of the community, I heard God did some amazing things physically, spiritually. I heard people got healed as people prayed for people, and people just got touched in so many amazing ways. And know that when you live on mission, it's revitalizing to yourself. When you have a mindset of, I want to speak out and preach out and testify of what God has done in my life and testify about his goodness and his grace and his mercy, it breathes life into your own spirit and breathes life into you. And so I'm hoping that in the coming years, we'll have more opportunities to do more trips, even just nationally, going into different areas of our own, very own nation, and begin to do things like this, help rebuild, or just go and hit the streets and proclaim the good news of Jesus to the lost, the hurting, and the broken. And then Jesus wraps it up with saying, going to the ends of the earth. He's saying, you start locally, you go nationally, but it should lead you even to the end of the earth, all over this planet. We are called to go. And in Acts 9:15, it says, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is chosen. This is speaking to Paul. He is speaking about Paul. Go, for he is chosen as a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. And this was, I forget who he's speaking to, but speaking to another prophet saying, hey, you're supposed to pray for him, you're supposed to lay hands on him and anoint him to go into all the nations. And Paul then did. He made several missionary journeys where he went into what is now Turkey and Greece and finally ended up in Rome. And he spoke the word of God to those nations. And he established, he got churches established in those areas. And so likewise, we are called to go into other nations as well and help preach the gospel, help show the gospel, help establish even churches in other nations. We have done this here at Harbor City Church many different times. Of recent, we have gone to Mexico a few years ago. I can't remember exactly how many years ago now. It's probably been 10 years ago. We went to Cuba. And even of more recent, we've been to Africa several times as teacher Mindy has helped start a church in Burundi. And we've also gotten to help, his name is Dr. Timothy in Uganda, help him along with other churches build a hospital. We actually got to just go tour that here earlier this year, and it's amazing what has been built and is taking place, and now the access to some just basic necessities, medical necessities that these people did not have or would have had to travel hours on the back of a little motorcycle to get, and where many people, many women would experience just these traumas of not being able to get to proper care before their babies a lot of times would pass away. Now they have this opportunity there. But it's been amazing to see what God has done in and through this church and the teams that have been sent. We actually got another team going to Africa here, I think in just a couple weeks, maybe even just the end of this month, to go down to Burundi and to minister there at the church is called Kita Life Church now. It's called Kita Life Church, and myself and Pastor Doug and Lois and Mindy, we went back in February, March, I think it was. We got to experience a 5.5-hour service. It was awesome. It was amazing. Actually, one of the questions I was thinking to myself as we were sitting is like, how does nobody have to pee right now? Like, I've got to go so bad. But it was awesome just seeing how people from a different nation just pouring out their love to God, worshiping him, praising him, and then how God would touch their lives. And so I actually encourage, if you've never been on a mission trip before, I highly, highly encourage you to go on one, at least one in your lifetime. It changes your perspective on what is truly of value, on what is truly necessary. And a lot of the things that we have at our fingertips in this country, when we go, we're like, I really don't need that. And these people live with so much less, and they seem so much happier. And so it will change your perspective. So I encourage you at some point, you need to sign up and go on a mission trip, whether it be nationally or internationally. It just changes your perspective and it changes your heart. Also, we have we support a full-time missionary. Matthew Acree is our full-time missionary. He is, I believe, he's stationed out of South Africa. I don't know where he's at exactly right now, but he's been working with a team that helps bring oral translation of the Bible to communities and languages that don't have the Bible. don't have even a written Bible. So they've been trying to reach these unreached people groups. And so it's been amazing to see what God has been able to do through Matthew and through the team that he's working with and the people that they are reaching. So I want to say with all of this, where we are called and what we are called to do, we don't do this alone. We can't do it alone. We can't do it in our own strength. If we try, we may succeed for a while, but eventually we will get burnt out and we will quit. But we do this with the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is available to every believer. If we just ask God, he will give us that good gift and strengthen us. Luke 11:13, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So if you are feeling depleted, if you're feeling like with just this task of going and showing and sharing the gospel like a daunting task, just Holy Spirit, help me, empower me, strengthen me, and he will. Again, Acts 1:8, what does it say? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will. If you ask the Holy Spirit, God is not ask God for the Holy Spirit, he is not going to withhold that from you. He's a good and gracious God, and he is going to pour out his Spirit on us so that we are strengthened and equipped to do what he has called us to do. He does not just say, okay, go, now figure it out and do it on your own. He says, no, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. When Jesus said, I'm going to the Father, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to send you the Holy Spirit. And he is going to empower you and give you the strength and the grace that you need to do the things that I've called you to do and to speak what I've called you to speak and to act in power when I've called you to act in power and to lay hands on the sick and see them healed. I'm a good father, and I'm going to give you this good gift. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid. I will be with you every step of the way. So we should, in each and every situation that we step into, be talking to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, fill me right now. Holy Spirit, give me guidance. Give me direction. Holy Spirit, give me the words that you want me to say right now. And maybe they're just words of love. Maybe they're just words of compassion. Maybe they're just words of, I see you where you're at in this moment. Can I pray for you? But he will show up if you ask him. He is a good and faithful God, and he does not leave us alone. I feel, I don't know, energized knowing that the Holy Spirit is with me. Like, okay, I can do this because he who is in me is greater than any fear that would try to come upon me, any anxiety or worry that would try to come upon me, power of the enemy. He is greater, and I can overcome, and I can do what he has called me to do. And I think we just need to reaffirm ourselves sometimes. No, I can do what God has called me to do. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be worried or anxious, because God's word says, I will receive power. I will receive the Holy Spirit. He will come upon me, and I will be a witness. I want us to just say that right now. I will receive power. I will be a witness. Amen. Amen. And that only comes because of our good and gracious God who desires to pour out his Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. We can stand. All right. This message or this mission, this great commission that God has given us is to spread the good news again, which is that Jesus Christ sinless, spotless, chose to die a sinner's shameful death for us so that our sins can be forgiven, so that we could be washed clean of all of our sin, so that we can be free from sin. So in order to go proclaim the good news, whether in word or in deed, we first have to receive the good news. We have to accept what Christ has done for us first and foremost. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you are here this morning and you have never received that good news into your heart, you've never said, yes, Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and that you rose again and you saved me from my sins. And this morning you want to make that declaration and that commitment to him. If that's you this morning, can you just raise your hand? Is there anybody like that this morning and say, I need Jesus. I need forgiveness. I want to accept his saving grace. Is there anybody like that this morning? I see that hand. Anybody else? Okay, and this is for those online as well. We're going to pray this as a family. So just you can repeat after me. Father God, thank you for loving me so much that you sent your son, Jesus, to die for me. Jesus, thank you for choosing to die for my sins, to pay the price that was mine to pay. Please forgive me of all my sin and wash me, make me clean, set me free, and give me the power to proclaim this good news to others. I commit my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on. If you made that decision, the next step is to get water baptized, which you can sign up for either this Wednesday or at a later date, but I encourage you to do so and get involved in our Fresh Start class. If you have not gone through Fresh Start yet as well, I encourage you to do so. That is kind of the basics of our beliefs. And then I encourage you guys to dive in this coming fall into the teachings that we have with our Deep Dive Thursdays. So, all right, as we close this morning, if I could just have the prayer team come on forward. If you need prayer for anything, please come get prayer. Even if it's like, hey, I'm struggling in just being a witness that I know God has called me to be. And you just pray for me to receive power, receive boldness, and we can do that as well. But let's just close with some worship. Let's just praise God for his goodness, his grace, and his saving power.